Welcome to episode number 283 of the Keep Up podcast.
Where?
Let's go! Forgot about. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay, we'll get to it.
Yeah, we'll get to one of the things that we were talking.
Let's go.
What's up? Oh yeah. So hey, welcome to the Keep Up Podcast. Let's do it right now.
Okay.
Welcome to the Keep Up Podcast, where I'm Brett and Tim is Tim.
That's me.
And we talk about all the things we consume, be it media or food, and we let you know if you should keep it on the list or not, because there's a lot of stuff out there. You got to decide which stuff is worth it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No. Totally. I forgot my water upstairs. I'm very sad.
How are you going to make it through?
I can't.
What if we talked in that weird voice the whole time?
Yeah, totally. Audacious.
Should we do that for episode 300? Just fake like...
I said accents.
Radio announcer voices?
No, do an accent the whole time.
No, a radio voice, I think.
Radio voice? No, you do radio voice. I will do my British/Australian/...
Yeah, it just like slips in and out of a bunch of different disguises.
It's just everything there, mate.
It's just...
I'm just talking as I would if I truly was an Aussie.
Unforgettable. I don't know why I'm doing that.
Okay.
What's up? What's the thing? What was I going to say? I was going to say something.
It's the podcast, Brett.
It's the podcast.
That's where we are.
It's okay. In the game.
EA Sports.
Sports.
Let's go!
All right.
Nailed it. There it is.
So weird.
We just get the feeling. I can feel it in my bones. Like
I gotta feel it. Yes, I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It's twin telepathy, but we're not twins.
Yeah, telepathy.
Yo, telepathy.
That's weird. I feel like I had something for the intro, but I can't remember what it is.
Check us out on Patreon.
Yeah, hey, listen, patrons, thank you very much. You guys are so cool. Doing something different this month. You're now going to get a video podcast as well as the audio-only option.
It's still the same podcast.
At certain tiers.
It's just video. It's the same Cricket City.
Yeah, Cricket City. It's a Patreon-exclusive podcast. Sorry, everyone's probably so confused. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. They just, if you want to go... Check it out. Yeah. You just got to go subscribe.
If you want it, you can have it. You're clapping through me off. That's a Weezer song. Do you know it?
In the arms of an angel.
What else was I going to say? Hey, shouts to new subscribers. Happy to see you here.
Yeah, we're famous now.
I mean, we are...
We actually were officially invited to Young Posse.
Kind of a big deal. To be in Young Posse.
Yeah. They were like, you two got spunk, we're both XXL.
We're the...
Well, that's at least the size I wear.
That's true. I've been wearing a lot of 2Xs lately.
Yeah.
I mean, XXL, double XXL.
Right. So they were like, you should be in Young Posse.
They were like, hey, you have the lowest viewed reaction video of everyone who's done one.
I think ours is up there. Hold on.
Are you being?
I don't have to check it.
Here we go.
Young. Hold on.
I'm excited to be a part of K-pop culture.
I think we are officially, we're on the forefront.
The fandom seems really cool.
Yeah.
You know, what's this I'm doing?
The fandom.
It's weird.
We are going to be the next evolution of K-pop.
We are. Youth of the Nation. Not even that one?
No, I know it. I just didn't want to sing with
you. Just sitting that one out?
Yeah, sometimes I got to join in. But this time, Brett.
Sometimes. What?
Young Posse
reaction. Unforgettable. Oh, that's... Dude, this whole time?
Dude, there's this random guy here and he has less than us. He's got 1.6 thousand. We're at 1.7.
That's why we are...
Look, he's a guy.
Oh, yeah. What's up, dude?
He's just a guy. So...
I'm proud of him.
I didn't know this was like a genre of videos people do.
K-pop?
Well, just like reaction to new
K-pop, to music?
Like music.
Dude,
yeah.
It happens in everything. Like the metal scene is huge for that. Like
dude, we come up. We come up naturally scrolling through. We come up.
That's pretty wild.
We're in the algorithm.
We're there. They found us.
They did.
They're like, wait, what's under all this stuff?
It's like,
who are these guys?
What, look at these. Look, there's two guys. This is us in a different reality.
Oh my gosh, it is us. That's crazy.
There you go. There they are.
I want to find all of these like duo podcasts and just do a podcast with all of them.
Be
like,
no, hey, let's react to their reaction.
Oh, that's a great idea.
But we should do a super podcast too.
Yeah. Like I saw one the other day and their description was just like two brothers, two different perspectives or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there can't be two podcasts with two brothers. That's out of control.
That's who we are.
Right.
And they're not allowed to just steal us.
We are. We are.
The youth of the nation.
Let's go.
You were way too late, so I just stopped.
You didn't even say it.
That's because you were late, dude. It would have been bad.
This is people are probably so confused with what's going on here.
This was a wild intro. Yeah. This is a lot going on.
And if you're wondering about the let's go, got to be part of Patreon.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only answer I can give you for
Patreon
that.
Exclusive. Mm-hmm. Actually, another thing we're going to change about Patreon is we're going to be adding some content there soon, like spoiler reviews, like full reviews of individual movies and things like that.
Uh-huh.
And that's going to be available to everyone from the $1 tier on. Anybody. Everybody.
Everybody.
Anybody and everybody.
You could walk in there with a dollar.
With a dollar.
And get reviews.
Reviews?
Spoiler-filled reviews.
Yeah.
Okay.
And probably some other stuff. I don't know what else. But extra... I wanted to give some stuff to everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we got the shout-outs, and we got the... I forget what else is at the dollar tier. Maybe it was just a shout-out.
Yeah.
I forget. But it's
the phone number?
The phone number, maybe.
Yeah.
That might be at 5. I forget, guys.
How do we run Patreon? But it's not only about Patreon.
No, it's not.
It's about you guys.
Yes.
And what better way to talk about you guys than in Reflections?
I can't think of one. Let's go.
Please, please, a moment to reflect.
You said you have a reflection.
I do.
Should I start, though?
Yeah, because it's your thing. I'm just riding on the coattails.
Why is it my thing?
Yo, I missed an audio call 3 hours ago.
An audio call?
From your mother.
My mom?
No.
Oh, it would have made sense.
I'm ready.
She's also your mom.
Yeah. No audio call.
Purple Mohawk, our good friend, sent us an Instagram message the other day, which is something you guys can do too if you want.
Yeah.
Outlining that now it is possible in this ever-evolving world of ours. Ever-evolving.
Oh, okay. Sound like you said ever-revolving.
Felt like I got it out.
Yeah, you did. It's me.
It is now possible for us to purchase a full-sized Megan doll.
Oh,
and my question is, why?
Yeah, why? Now, okay.
And that's it. I'm wondering why. Now, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't.
Okay.
But I know enough.
People really like that movie for some reason.
Yeah, it seems to really be a part of the zeitgeist now, if I'm using that word correctly.
It is, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It's a weird movie.
Life-size Megan doll. Fully posable life-size replica of the Model 3. Oh, that's what her name stands for.
Yeah. I can't think of a good reason because the movie, like, knowing what the movie's about her, like, coming to life and being crazy and stuff, I don't want a real-life version of that, even if it doesn't come to life.
But I have seen a lot of, I feel like the closest thing, I've seen a lot of really impressive rooms and studio setups that are basically like horror museums. Mm-hmm. And most of it is pretty cool. I think the scariest ones, I mean, it's all cool.
Yeah.
But I think the scariest additions to those setups are like Chucky dolls.
Yeah.
Where like that is the same thing.
That's the thing that could come to life and kill you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you have a life-size Xenomorph or Predator.
No.
They're cool.
Right. But the Chucky doll started as an inanimate object. And you're already there.
Yeah.
So Megan's even scarier, especially because I feel like, oh, it is NECA. It's probably awesome, actually.
It doesn't... The hair looks weird.
The hair does look a little... Oh, is it like real hair-like hair, though? That's spooky.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you would just use it for display purposes, because like...
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah, I wouldn't like... People would want to get it and like kiss it.
Life-size. Oh, no.
Yeah.
You think so?
I hope not.
Probably someone, though, huh?
Yeah, probably someone.
Ew.
Yeah, I know.
Ew.
That's why I don't want people to have it.
Ew.
Ew.
Yeah, we're...
Brett's upset I said that.
Let's see, Our organization is PAMDA.
PAMDA?
Podcasters Against Megan Dolls.
All right. PAMDA.
I'm not against the doll. I'm against
people.
The person you implied exists.
The freak.
I'm not into that.
Not at all. So yeah, I don't want it. I don't want anybody to have it.
I don't want it. I don't want to know about it.
No.
Purple, don't you ever send this to me again. I'm just kidding. Thank you for sending it.
Wow.
Now it's been immortalized in the Keep Up Podcast history on episode number 283 of the Keep Up Podcast.
It's here forever. Thanks, Purple, for making this conversation happen.
It's here forever.
I have a reflection.
Wow.
And by a reflection, I mean a message I received earlier today.
Mm.
This is from Jesse's Floating Castle.
What's up, Jesse?
Hi, Jesse.
Hi, Jesse.
She said, I just had a random dream about you, which initially I'm like, me?
Oh, really? Go on.
Just who's dreaming about me? And then she said, I dreamed you and Brett called me live during your podcast and told me you were doing a segment called Ridiculous Request. And it was my turn to request something ridiculous. Like it could be to eat something, play something, or do something. And I just sat there dumbfounded, like, I don't know. And I responded and I said, that 100% sounds like something we would do.
Yes, it does.
Also, I bet if I told Brett this, he would want to do this as a segment.
I immediately am like, you can, if you're watching the video, you can tap, double tap back.
Yep.
To the moment where my face said, is this a new segment?
Is that a genius? Right, I knew immediately reading it. I'm like, Brett is going to want to do
Why
this.
Me? You don't want that? That's the coolest idea for a
I
segment.
I think logistically, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, it is.
Mean,
you're right.
Not a nightmare. Right. You just have to schedule. You had to let the person know ahead of time.
Well, no. I think it's like we pick a person, and if they don't pick up.
Yeah.
Then it's that's it.
That's it. That's the segment.
That's it. That's the segment.
But that could be a fun thing to involve with Patreon. We call a random Patreon subscriber during the podcast.
Oh, that would be
cool. And be like, hey. But the problem with that is if they suggest something, how the heck are we going to do? Like, what if they suggest, like, go play Mortal Kombat? Like, do we stop the podcast and go do it?
That's a good point.
I think it's a good idea during, like, a live stream or something.
Yes, it is.
If we're doing, like a 12-hour podcast or something like that.
Ridiculous request.
Yeah.
I do like that.
It's a fun concept.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe could we do a whole stream called Ridiculous Request? Like,
and have people like...
Like the Keep Up Presents Ridiculous Request.
Yeah, that could...
And we could do anything on the stream.
Right, right. Yeah, that could be done. Because then if we have to like go on the road or something, we can just bring the stream on the road on our phones.
Oh.
If we had to like, if they said like go to McDonald's and get something, like you could bring the stream with you.
Yeah, and we could have like chat vote. Like if someone... If someone suggests something or requests something that we have to do that would like require us to leave, then we could have chat vote. Like, if you want us to do this, this is going to be like the rest of the stream.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea.
We got to workshop it a little, but
yeah.
Jesse, that's why I responded that way because I knew Brett would be into it. And
he's
I thought,
not wrong.
He's not wrong.
That's cool.
And she responded after that and said, if you do it, I will feel like a magical genie that can tell the future.
Yeah.
That could be a dangerous segment, though. That's what she said.
She is not wrong. She's not about wrong. That.
So, no. Jesse, if you're listening now, I hope it was okay that I read that out loud.
Yeah. And I do think you're a magical genie.
I mean, that's a future dreamer right
what
there.
What about being, if you're a genie and you're not magical, you're just a guy?
Yeah.
Because how else?
A genie's only a genie when they can do the wishes.
Or you just have the, like, coming out of a lamp situation.
That seems like a useless thing.
It's a bummer, dude.
Although you could live in a lot of things. That's or is true. It only the lamp? Can you, like, shrink?
If it's a power, then you're... It'd still be weird. Like, if I met you and you're like, I'm a genie. And I'm like, oh, like, you do magic? Like, you grant wishes? And you're like, no magic.
No.
I can just... shrink. I'm like, well, all right, that's kind of magic. That's weird, but if you're just like, no, I can't do anything different than you can,
then why am I a genie?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that applies to like, are commanders still commanders when they retire from the army? Like, is a genie a title as opposed
right.
to like,
is it like the president? You're always the president after,
right.
or you're always addressed as
Mr. President
yeah.
when you're not president?
Aren't you?
I think so.
Yeah.
I assume if I met a president who wasn't a president, I'd probably still say Mr. President.
Yeah, I think you maintain the title, America.
Yeah, America. So a genie would maintain the title.
I only think of blue, bald-headed beings when I think of genies.
They're not bald.
Isn't...
They got the little one...
Oh, you're right.
One tiny ponytail.
Robin Williams' genie is like...
That is the genie.
The genie. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I always see them with their arms crossed.
Yeah, that's when Jafar becomes a genie. He was a big arm crosser.
I bet you four... Schminkles.
Schminkles.
That genie crosses his arms.
You're probably right. Also, he's just called Genie, huh?
Yeah.
That's funny.
And he gets freed from the lamp, spoilers. And he's still Genie after the fact, isn't he?
Yeah. He's still President Genie.
Does he still have powers? He does, because then the show happens.
Yeah, he puts on a shirt without actually having one near him.
That's magical.
He puts on a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh, yeah. And he puts on a goofy hat.
Yeah.
Because he's going to Disneyland.
Jesse, don't act like you can't magically put on a Hawaiian shirt. I know you can do that.
I believe so. That's all I had in Reflections.
We sure have reflected here today in Reflections.
We have.
I think it's time for television.
Television.
Brenda spent like 10 minutes trying to stop the audio.
I couldn't stop it,
I
dude.
Hope you leave it in the video,
it
but
was
if
relentless.
Not.
Relentless. I probably will.
Just us sitting there like... Silent.
Yeah.
Yo, welcome to television.
Here we are.
I have been on a kick of trying to catch up on old shows.
Oh.
Because we're the keep up. That's all we ever do.
That's true. You said very recently that you're bad at watching TV, though.
I am. And that's why I'm trying to rectify that.
So
while I'm running on my little bike to make sure I'm not super fat, a little exercise bike.
Oh, dude, I thought you were making up some kind of metaphor. I didn't know what was going on.
Exercise bike. That was the end of that thought.
It's a stationary bike.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I'll watch a show as I'm doing it because it's a good way for me to get myself into watching shows and also attempt to be healthier.
It's a great way. I heard a hack one time.
Yes.
I can't remember the content creator's name, so I'm sorry I can't give credit, but in case it's helpful to anyone out there.
Sorry, Bethany.
A good way, could have been her name.
Yeah.
A good way to motivate yourself to work out is designate that show to only be watchable when you're working out.
The workout show.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's smart.
Uh-huh.
Is that what you were doing?
That was what I was doing.
Let's
but
go,
then
dude.
I also just watched four episodes.
Yeah.
The same night after.
So it's not what you're doing.
So, but it was the intention.
Right.
And it currently is with another show I'll talk about.
But, okay.
First show I'm going to talk about, Scott Pilgrim Takes Off.
Oh my gosh.
Which
where's he going, dude?
Have you've seen the Scott Pilgrim movie?
I have, yeah.
Have you read the book or anything like that? Me neither.
No.
But I have been, I would say, a pretty good, big, super smelly, stinky fan.
Interesting.
That's all the adjectives I use to describe my fandom.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen the movie and I played the game. And that is my exposure to Scott Pilgrim. And the game does a great job of recollecting the story in a video game format.
It also does a great job of having developers who later made an awesome Ninja Turtles game.
That's true.
Loosely related.
Yeah, loosely, but that's still related.
Loose leaf related.
Loose leaf paper. Yeah. But this show, a lot of people going into it expected it to just be another Scott Pilgrim story.
A retelling.
A retelling, if you will.
I will.
This show... is absolutely not a retelling.
Really?
It is its own beast.
Oh.
Which I think is very cool.
That is cool.
Because Scott Pilgrim has been retold in many different ways, in book, in video game, in movies.
Is the game essentially the story you know already?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep, because you go and fight the evil ex-boyfriends,
yeah.
And it's the same story. So the show is definitely a love letter to fans, because it does not hit on any of the points the original show does, or a movie/book does.
Yeah.
Which is very jarring at first, because I'm like, wait, what are they doing here? What's going on here?
Yeah.
So it definitely still has the like fun video game charm and references and things.
Okay.
But it's certainly more down to earth than I would say the original movie was.
Interesting.
Because you follow a different character. Scott Pilgrim's still in it and stuff, but there's other things going on that... He's not the focus of this story for
bold
now.
Bold move.
Bold move, right? And so it's fun because it really takes all the characters you know and all the things you might enjoy about the movie and puts them in a new perspective and then wraps the show around everything that's new and different.
Yeah.
As opposed to just it being a simple retelling.
That is really cool. It seems like almost a risky move having it be more grounded, because I feel like part of Scott Pilgrim's appeal is how out of control it gets.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it gets out of control.
It does get there.
For sure. There's so many segments like that, but it does still feel very like the pacing of the movie and the games is just like, you're just like battle after battle, yeah, after crazy things happening. And the show definitely still has it, but the overall story is pretty, pretty chill, yeah, comparatively, up until like near the end. Then it starts getting crazy.
But I'm glad to hear it's a different story, because admittedly I have it added to my queue, mm-hmm, but I haven't jumped to it. I was like, I'm sure I'm going to love this,
yep,
but I know the story.
Right.
So, and so I it's didn't like, jump to it.
What's the incentive to watch a story? Sure. It's animated and it's probably a, yeah, cool way to watch it. But yeah, knowing that it is complete, they do a complete swap on you. Yeah. It's cool.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's a keeper.
That's a keeper for sure. And they brought back all the original voice actor, or the people who acted the actors, in the movie, yeah, as, yeah, voice actors. They all sound good to me.
Yeah.
Maybe like one or two stiff like deliveries,
okay,
of certain characters, but yeah, everybody's back who was in the movie. So
I think that's, we talked about that briefly when we watched what's the animated Marvel show? What If.
What If, yeah.
How some of the actors do not translate as well as a voice actor.
Nope.
Which is so weird.
Right, because you're just still like delivering your lines, but I guess maybe being in,
oh yeah,
and stuff,
it's gotta
like
be a different
movie, yeah.
Yeah, a different feeling. But mm-hmm, that's cool. That's good to know. And that does make me want to watch it sooner.
Yes.
Because like I said, I was already like, this probably rules, yeah, but really cool for fans too, because like you said, that story's been told 3-4 times.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way. I bet the book's a very different experience.
I bet so, too.
Because it's longer, right?
I think it's six graphic novels or mangas. Oh, yeah. I don't know actually how it was. I think there were graphic novels.
I think you're right about the number. I think it was six.
Being six, yeah. And the series is short. It's 8 episodes. I would say it left me wanting more by the, yeah, end of it. I was like, where's the rest? Because it didn't feel like it was incomplete. I just wanted more.
I just wanted
more. So, and that's not a bad thing.
No, that's true.
You know, they definitely could have a season two.
No news of that yet.
Not that I know of.
Mm.
But yeah, highly.
Did you just skip twice? You're like, not that I know.
I was glitching. But yeah, definitely a keeper. Go watch it and enjoy the action. Brett's doing that.
Action's good?
Yeah.
Sorry, the tablecloth was distracting me.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's better now. And you know what else is better?
What?
Invincible.
Invincible. I've still not watched or read Invincible.
I'm going to be sick.
I should just watch it, right?
You should. Like, honestly, yeah.
Yeah, I should just watch it.
You should just drop everything else you plan on watching and watch it. It is like...
Yeah. I was going to read it because I, mm-hmm, love Kirkman and, yep, I love reading the source material first, but, mm-hmm, it being animated, and I feel like it's probably pretty close to like beat for beat. I'm sure you get extra in the comics. But
yeah, that's what I've heard. And the episodes are chunky. I mean, like, I feel like they're not skipping things because the episodes are like 40 minutes to 50 minutes.
Are they?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And I've only heard that it's amazing. So, oh, I should just watch it.
It's, yeah, it's next level. All right. It is like, and you got to watch The Boys too.
I know I do.
That one's soof.
I know.
But
dude,
yeah.
Don't say it's soof.
It's soof.
That one's soof.
Not much to say on Invincible other than there is season two just finished, and I just started the beginning of season two, and that first episode is such a freaking roller coaster.
Yeah,
it's crazy. They, okay, take you to so many things, and that's after coming off the heels of the first season, which that set the bar so high,
yeah,
that I'm like, I'm nervous to watch season two,
yeah,
because,
yeah, yeah,
the expectations that first season set up was just off the wall.
Yeah,
from the animation to the fighting to the voice acting, it's just like,
that's scary when you have such a good first season.
Yeah, yeah. When it's that superb, it's wild.
But we do have the comfort of knowing that the book is great.
Yes,
long running, yep, beloved,
got a good story, and
so it's like, yeah,
yeah,
you know.
So I think, and from what I've heard, season two knocks it out of the park again.
Cool.
They also do have a little prequel story of a character named Adam Eve in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a clip of that and it looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes me want just a show for that character.
Really?
Yeah. And she's pretty prominent in the show. It's, mm-hmm, not like she isn't, but it's her origin.
But wait, is this not a show just for her?
No, it's just it's like a prequel like movie, but it was a way to like satisfy fans in the meantime while they worked on season two.
I see.
So
just like an episode, basically.
Yeah, essentially. Oh, okay. Yep, yep. But it's all its own contained story.
Okay, that's cool.
But yeah, that was incredible too. That was that again makes me just want to see that character in her own show.
Yeah.
And do her own thing.
That's rad.
Her moveset's really cool too. She's essentially like Green Lantern.
Oh.
But she creates things out of like thin air and doesn't need a ring, essentially.
Oh, wow.
But she, it's like, her name, Adam Eve. She can like control molecules and atoms and things like that. And
damn, that's so smart.
It's so smart because the things she creates in battle, it really is like infinite possibilities as an animator.
Yeah, that's like Green Lantern's only Achilles is that he needs the ring.
Right.
So Kirkman was like, let's just... I'm assuming Kirkman created this character,
yeah.
But it's like, let's just get rid of that part.
And just still do
wow.
the Green Lantern. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So her fight, there's one fight, there's a couple fights in it, but one fight in particular, it goes on for like 15 minutes or something. It is just like, the animation is
Dude,
next level.
I am like falling in love with animated action sequences lately.
Yeah.
I was just talking to a friend about some of the X-Men fight scenes.
And oh, still good?
Yeah. I mean, I know we talked about it briefly, but just... I keep thinking I've seen like the most amazing animated action scenes. And then like, I mean, even from Onimusha was incredible.
Oh, that had some really good ones.
Just the first episode of X-Men had so many. Mm-hmm. And then I saw a clip that you posted of this show or that episode. And I couldn't believe how good it looked. Oh. I was like, I need to, it's just the possibilities are endless.
Yeah.
You know,
I think where animation is right now, just there's a lot of tools and technology that allows you to make such cool fluid animation that it's not just stuck to people, you know, creating the cells and the art, and you know, it's much easier nowadays
to more make resources
I
kind of want to play a game that looks like that,
like Invincible, or just
Invincible or the new X-Men, like that borderline anime style. But
I bet you could find it for sure.
It's that fluid and like just looks like an animated show.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know there's stuff that's close, but like I want it to just be that.
There's a game I played called Tinykin, which plays like a cartoon would move, if that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Not the same animation style. It's 2D, like kind of like Cuphead, but not as
Don't
rubber
say hop.
Hose. Huphead.
Huphead.
But yeah, that type of style. There's games out there. I bet there is.
All right.
There's ones you can find and play and
Carry
enjoy.
On.
That's all I'd say. It's Invincible. It's fantastic. Adam Eve, Super Keeper. The Adam Eve special.
Yeah.
And then the episode one of...
All on Prime, right?
All on Prime, yep. Oh, that's the one problem. Prime has commercials now.
Dude, everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything.
What were we watching the other day?
Max has a commercial, but it's only at the beginning of... Like, it's for...
I got a couple today.
Did you?
Yeah.
I only got one at the beginning. Like, when we watched our movie, when we go to movies.
Yeah.
I only got one at the beginning.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's because I did have to pause it a couple times and come back later.
Maybe it, refreshes.
Yeah. Because I've been... But yeah, Max is like, dude, I just hate how it takes you out of it.
Yeah.
Especially if you're watching something like... on Prime, me, Rach, and the kids have been watching The Chosen.
I don't know that.
It's the like the gospel stories. It started as an app, and it's you haven't heard about that?
No, I don't think so.
No way. It's on like season four. It was all crowdfunded, and then for season four, I don't know if that's out yet. They rather than crowdfunding it, they brought it to theaters. Like I don't know how they did it. If it was like a couple episodes or what. But they were like, let's just bring it to theaters and see if we can raise enough money.
From like ticket sales?
Yeah. And they did to do another season.
That's weird.
So, but it's like, yeah, I'm surprised you haven't heard of it. It's like I said, it started as an app, but it's like, it's all on Prime now. Mm-hmm. But like, we're watching, like, when you're watching something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Set in like biblical times,
yeah,
and then it cuts to like
I already know it's like a Tide commercial,
yeah. Like, bro, and it's so much louder because everything's like
chilled,
dude. It's so funny and it's so frustrating because everything has ads now.
Yeah,
everything.
You can't. Dude. It's like I am actively finding other ways to watch movies not on the apps because the ads.
Yeah,
and they're not even that crazy, but I feel like it's ridiculous that you're paying for this service and you're getting forced ads when for years we didn't have ads.
That's the craziest thing, is like that was the whole draw.
Because I get like, cable, you have commercials, that's just part of it. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get to that where it's part of it too, because you can pay for no ads.
Well, that's the thing that's frustrating is like, yeah, I know you've been paying it for this long.
Yeah.
It hasn't had ads, but now pay more.
Now pay more. Yeah. So it is very jarring. And Invincible too. I mean, it's like the first episode was like 45 minutes or seven or whatever. And I think I had like six ads throughout the whole thing.
That's
and like
brutal.
Some ranging from 15 seconds to as much as a minute and a half. And I'm like, oh,
that's, I know you see 90 seconds and you're yeah. like, I could die before the show comes back. This is insane. But it really does. Like even something like that, you're kind of, you're deep into a certain kind of animation and visuals. And yep. then all of a sudden you're cut to some stupid commercial and the music's all off. And
yeah.
I'm like, how did I do this my whole life before streaming? Like
what
how
kind
do
of
people
world?
Get immersed into movies?
Well, I think the other thing is they probably don't have good moments where the commercials cut in. Like shows always had like,
that's right.
They planned and the screen faded to black and things like that.
That's 100%
shows,
correct.
It just feels jarring.
Yep. Yeah. I was watching Batman Returns the other day.
Yeah.
And it's just like, in the middle, it's like, tied.
like, what do you mean?
No, don't sell me this right now.
I hate it.
You're right. That's a big part of why it feels so intrusive. I didn't think about that because there's no fade out. There's no spot for it. Mm-hmm. It's wild, dude. Yeah, I don't like that.
Nope.
That sucks. So it's on Prime.
Yeah.
Can you even pay for Prime without commercials?
I think you can.
Okay.
I think it's just an extra couple bucks or whatever, but
I've had a couple show up in a way that I'm like, this feels a little nostalgic, actually. I kind of
commercials?
Feel, yeah, like if it does fall, if someone like says something and they're like, oh, and then it's like a commercial happens to pop up or an ad. I guess we're not back to commercials yet.
No.
But
no, dude, if they did like 90s commercials, I would be all for it. They could interrupt everything.
Give me the I'll even buy it, dude.
Yeah.
Bring back Surge and show me an ad, dude. I'll order that
Surge
right
is
now.
Back.
Shut up.
I think it is.
Shut up.
I think you can only get it at a restaurant, though.
A restaurant?
Yeah, like you can get it from the fountain.
What restaurant?
Taco Bell.
Oh, no.
No.
Surge was Surge. I think Surge was a Coke product.
Surge soda.
Sounds like a Pepsi product, but I feel like it was a...
It's got 51 caffeine amount.
That's exactly the information we were looking for.
Let's see. About Surge Movement...
Surge Movement.
Surge Movement, fan power community recognized the return of Surge. I thought it came back.
I feel like it did for like an hour.
It was just like, and we're back.
Because I think that does sound familiar to me.
Yeah, here it says it was discontinued in 2003.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. Huh, I thought it came back.
I want Sobe to come back.
You can buy Surge right here.
Where?
On gotoliquorstore.com.
You have to buy it at a liquor store? Wait, is this like a...
I don't know. Maybe it's an alcoholic Surge.
No, it's not. It's literally just... Wait, how much is a 16-ounce can?
Is it a real website?
Oh, no. It says enter address to find availability.
Ah, so probably...
I'm entering your street address.
No! The other day, I learned of a snack that I knew was going to be discontinued, but I didn't know when it was gonna. And I used to... love them and eat them all the time. It's the Quaker snack mix. Do you ever have that?
Oh, I remember it.
Because I bought when I knew it was like, because they just, we couldn't find it in stores anywhere. So I went online and ordered a box of 40 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you can get it?
I guess there's like a can available about 45 minutes from here.
It's in the back of some 7-Eleven, like dusty. And they're like, we found it.
They're like, we didn't even know this was here.
It's like, all right. But anyways, the Quaker snacks, long story short. They're not sold anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm sad because I wish I like stocked up on them.
Oh, knowing,
because now that they're gone, that's it.
That's that.
That's it. I just can't enjoy it. Because the things about it is it had this like soft, cheddar-y, Cheez-It like snack.
Yes.
Little like cracker. Yeah. And then they had these like octagon shaped little cheese things. Like it was just a really good snack mix.
When was the last time you actually had it though?
When I bought that box of like 40 little bags.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So that was probably. 2021, I think.
Oh, so not that long ago.
Not too long ago, but when it's, it just hurts that it's gone.
Well, remember when the 3D Doritos came back and they just weren't the same?
Yeah.
Are those still back?
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so. Yeah. They just never be the same.
Never be the same.
Sonic music. At least that was the same.
Some things never change.
No. That's it in TV.
Movies?
Yeah.
Cool.
Ooh, let's go to the movies.
Here we are.
Hi.
What's up, dude?
Oh, we're in movies.
Yeah.
So we got a movie to talk about.
We do.
We
is it just the one?
Hold up.
Yeah, hold up. Dude, I've been in the craziest Batman mood lately.
How many Batman have you watched?
1.5.
Are you going to watch all the live action ones?
I think so, yeah. Well, what happened was the other day, Rach saw a clip about... It was actually... what's her name? Eyes. Anne Hathaway.
Eyes?
Yeah, she has really big eyes.
Okay.
No?
No, I mean, sure, but it's not how I would remember her.
How would you remember
her? Les Miserables.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Catwoman, but she was... So, Rach saw a clip of her talking about how inspired she was by Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman and Batman Returns, which is so good, and her, like, training for... Dark Knight Rises, which I don't think I've seen since it was out in theaters.
I legitimately only seen it that one time.
Yeah, is that weird?
Yeah.
Where I've seen The Dark Knight maybe...
1,000 times.
Yeah, like 172
Batman
times.
Begins I've even seen like multiple times.
Yeah, I have too. Mm-hmm. I think that movie's a mess. I know we've talked about it a little bit, but I think it's not great.
It's I think it's definitely higher up because of how good The Dark Knight is.
Yeah.
I think on either side, both of those movies are remembered more fondly because
yeah.
how good it is. But I still think Batman Begins is all right.
It's not bad. Mm-hmm. I just, the last few times I've watched it, it just felt like a bunch of scenes thrown together, which is weird because Nolan's such like a master of his craft.
Yeah.
But anyways, Rach saw that clip and she was like, this makes me want to watch the Nolan trilogy again. And I was like, oh yeah, I want to too. And the kids have never seen it. So that gives us an excuse to watch all three.
Heck yeah.
And then I forget what happened recently. Maybe I just saw him on Max or something happened and I was like, I haven't consumed any Batman in a long time. Mm-hmm. And I watched the first one the other night, the Tim Burton one, and it's so great. And Nicholson's Joker is like just something so unique. And to think that it hadn't really been done other than there might have been some serials in the Adam West TV show.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't think Batman had been on screen. So just the way that they portrayed both Batman and the Joker in that feels like what's so cool about the movie is it feels like you've been watching them in that way. Like,
yeah.
You know, just you all of a sudden are seeing Bruce Wayne. You all of a sudden are seeing what Batman is like.
Yeah. There's no origin really.
No.
It's just like you're
just in it.
You're in Gotham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Keaton is so believable and Nicholson's Joker is so unique. And even though we've had so many iterations since that have been incredible, that one still holds up on its own and it's so fun and wacky.
What you would assume would be like how easy it is to do Joker and like you just have a guy that's crazy and laughs a lot.
Yeah.
We have so many different Jokers.
I know, it's wild.
In cinema, in comics, and everything. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, have you seen the new Joker trailer?
Oh, I didn't see the trailer yet. I saw a still from it.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It's good.
That's the other thing. I can't wait to watch that again. I've only ever seen that once.
Yeah. That's one that is still like pretty fresh in my mind.
Yeah.
That like I could see it again, but I don't feel like I need to just yet.
Yeah.
But the trailer for the new movie.
It's good.
Yeah. It's weird because it's like it's supposed to be a musical. I don't think there's any singing in it at all.
I thought the whole trailer was singing, no?
Not that I could tell. There was just a lot of like talking, and there's a little bit of singing near the end, but at least in the first part, there's not much.
Maybe I misread a headline because that's all I know about it too. Is it supposed to be a musical?
Yeah, but no, the trailer itself, there's like music playing and stuff, but they're talking. And
do we have a release date?
If there was one, I didn't see it.
Interesting.
Remember, but
Quick bit of movie news that I found out about today.
Yeah,
Blumhouse just announced that they are doing a series of reimaginings of what are now considered classic horror movies. The first of which is a new The Blair Witch Project.
Oh my God.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So there's a part of me that's excited because I love The Blair Witch Project. Mm-hmm. And Blumhouse is working with, I forget his name, but the producer of the 2016 Blair Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was great. But it literally said in the announcement, like, this is the first of a list of movies that will be reimagined. And it's like, okay, so we're just going to see a bunch of other remakes. And now we're into remakes from our generation.
Yeah.
like that we saw as kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that's been happening, but this feels like a very deliberate, like a list of movies that are considered classic. And if that's considered classic,
yeah,
that's what, 20, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, what else are we going to see that's going to feel like we just saw it recently?
Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, where we don't need it reimagined because those other movies are still like, yeah, like the Blair Witch is one that I don't think we really need reimagined or to be revisited on.
Yeah. I'm not always this guy, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of like, leave this one alone.
Yeah. Like, well, it just makes you think like how unoriginal a lot of things
is. Is nothing
out of.
Sacred?
Nothing.
Leave it alone.
Now, what if they remade Underworld?
Oof.
Would you be there for that or?
Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. I didn't even like when Scott Speedman stopped being like as prevalent in them.
Yep.
I don't know if I could, they could do it well. I don't want one without Kate Beckinsale. That's what I'm
true.
Trying to get to. Yeah, I don't want that. But that being said, there are a lot of incredible leading ladies out there right now mm-hmm. that like, maybe it would be cool to see someone take on Celine or be like her, you know, a relative or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
A descendant. I don't know. I could be into something like that. A continuation. I don't know that I would want it to start over because those movies to me are still really good.
Right. They're not like really old.
Especially the first three. Mm-hmm. Like they hold up to me. The effects in those movies I thought were incredible. There mm-hmm. were a lot of practical effects, which I think is why they hold up so well. But I mean, that's a good example. Like, I don't know. I'm curious to see what else they picked up. Like, are they gonna, what else came out? I mean, are we going to see The Ring? I wonder if we're going to see The Ring remade.
The Grudge.
The Grudge. They already kind of tried.
God, that was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard. That was one of your most scathing reviews.
God, that movie was just so bad.
Yeah, the way you described that, I was like, I don't even want to hear about this movie again.
No. Was that worse than Madam Web?
I was going to ask, because your review, they're probably equally scathing.
Yeah.
But you hated The Grudge.
The thing with The Grudge is I wanted it to be good because it is still to this day one of the scariest movies ever to me.
Sure.
And I really just love everything behind it. So, to have a remake and it hurt so much or a re-release.
That makes it sting. That's how Legend of Chun-Li was for me.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted that to be good so bad that it was already, I mean, that movie sucked. It was so awful. Mm-hmm. The last point I was going to make about Batman, speaking of so awful, is I'm excited to watch Forever and Batman and Robin and reassess many years later.
Yeah, Batman and Robin is one I still haven't. I must have seen as a kid, but I do not remember a thing
about it.
Pretty
sure it had the nipple suits.
Bat nipples. That's all I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Batman Forever, I think that one's still all right.
I really think it's a progression.
Yeah.
I mean,
it gets weird and wacky and very campy. And it's
very campy, right? And I'm kind of excited to revisit that.
It could, It's been a while since I've seen Forever, but.
Yeah. Dude, I loved when Batman and Robin came out, I was the target age where like I wanted them all to look like action figures and they legit look like action figures in the movie. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
So that'll be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll definitely report back when I watch those.
Yes.
What else?
Well, we got a suggestion.
Yeah, we did.
We got a suggestion, and, you know, we always try to watch what you're asking.
Tim's already having a hard time.
I'm struggling.
Well, I do love all the recommendations and all of the messages we've been getting, everything. It's very, very cool.
I'm still convinced you guys recommend movies so we can just suffer.
Has been a lot of that. There's been a lot of
that's
it.
That's been our exposure,
to be honest,
to the community out there. So, to continue our trend of, I wouldn't say suffering.
No, but I wouldn't say so.
Of films that took us on a journey we weren't ready for. that's the trend here.
Oh, this is awesome.
Sarah, long time friend and listener. She recommended a movie
mm-hmm.
called Time Bandits.
Time Bandits. And man, was I intrigued because I think the way she described it, well, it was very accurate.
Yeah.
It's about a group of dwarves
mm-hmm.
time traveling to steal things.
Yes. In different points of history.
Yeah. In different area codes. Area codes. You know who that is?
Beastie Boys.
Sure isn't.
Dang.
Yeah.
It's
ludicrous. So.
Yes.
We watched it.
We watched
it. When did you watch it? Yesterday?
Day before.
What?
Yeah,
I'm fresh, bro. I watched it today.
You're more fresh than me. So talk about it, Brett.
No, you go first.
This movie was made in 1981.
1981, and it does revolve around a young boy, Kevin.
Yes, Kevin. No relation to Home Alone Kevin.
Right, not McAllister.
No.
That we know of. I don't know that we get a last name.
Uh-uh.
And the boy loves history.
Yes.
And his parents suck.
Really
and
bad.
And they don't really care about him or pay attention to him. His dad's super into sending him to bed.
Yeah.
And his mom's super into appliances.
Yeah, that's all you get.
That's pretty much it. And then he goes to bed. And a knight on a horse smashes through his closet.
Yes.
Jumps over his bed.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wakes up. And then he goes to bed. And at some point, a group of dwarves crash into his room and kind of try to murder him.
Yeah. Well, first they're scared of him. And then they try to murder him.
Then they try to murder him.
And
from here,
yeah,
a wild adventure starts.
Full of whimsical antics
mm-hmm.
and some shocking things.
Dude. Yes. There were some moments where I was like, what?
Where? What are we? So the thing about this movie is, from my understanding, it was promoted as a children's movie.
Sure.
It is one that, like, you put it in front of your kids and you're like, haha, funny.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it, it does not feel like a children's movie.
It does to me. To me, it plays like a, it feels like a stage play mixed with a cartoon to me.
Okay. I can see that.
That's kind of how it felt. A lot of that had to do with soundtrack.
Yes.
Which is something I was going to bring up is the way this soundtrack is laid out is like, it's part of what makes it feel so cartoony.
Yeah.
But carry on.
My point was basically there are scenes in this that feel very mature, and the comedy is, I think, pushed in a way that feels very Monty Python, which I believe the director was the writer for Monty Python.
Yeah, Terry Gilliam, I think.
Yeah. So the connections are there that feel very like, you get some just
dry
British humor and a bunch of jokes that as a kid, I think you would not get because they're like verbal jokes, but then you get a lot of like slapstick and like goofy craziness that will make kids enjoy it. I think the lines and things delivered in a way felt very much more like mature humor.
Yeah.
And like dry British adult humor.
It's funny that you mentioned that because those were the moments that were the funniest to me, whereas the sort of slapstick cartoony humor didn't land quite as much. But I could see, you're right. That kind of explains some of how I felt about the tone throughout it.
Yeah.
It felt a little up and down. It is insanely whimsical.
Mm-hmm. That word was going through my head.
That's the whole word. It's got every like fantasy trope you could kind of think of. And in that right, I thought it was really cool because what's happening is these dwarves want to be thieves. They've stolen a map from the supreme being.
Mm-hmm.
To the universe, basically, and they're using these. This was actually my favorite part of the movie is the way that they explain how they time travel. The explanation is that the universe, how do they say it? There's a line that I was like, oh, that's actually really cool.
There's like a bunch of holes in the universe.
Yeah, the fabric of the universe is like an imperfect job or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's holes and the map shows where the holes are and that's how you travel through time.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of cool to say that like there's tears in the fabric of the universe and that's how you go through time.
But
I was
it's like, so like unpredictable. Like,
right. They don't know where any of them lead to really.
And they like show up at a certain time.
Yes.
But is it only them that sees it? Like how many other people like accidentally step into a time portal and...
It's a great point. And also, they have a map, so how come they never know where they're going? It just shows you where the portals are.
Yeah.
But there are these like these very specific set pieces. There's the Napoleon, Napoleon being so obsessed with height and naming different rulers who were his or shorter than his height.
Yep.
Was pretty funny. There's a Robin Hood segment that was my favorite.
Yeah.
That was very English humor.
Mm-hmm.
That one. And that made me laugh out loud a couple times. Just the actor who played Robin Hood, his delivery was great.
Mm-hmm.
And the villain is, I thought
that,
was...
That feels like a cartoon.
Yes.
The villain.
Yeah, very cartoony. But some of the funnier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But also... There were some moments where I was like, this is just cartoon humor.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but it very much feels like This is, you totally nailed why I had a hard time, because I was going to say, like, it plays like an 80s kids movie, but not all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't all the time. Mm-hmm. There are moments where it definitely feels more mature. But yeah, there's giants, there's demons on pirate ships, there's... what else am I missing?
The centurions, like the
centurions,
the ancient Greece, yep. Like astronauts. I mean, there's everything.
Yeah.
You hit like all forms of fantasy and sci-fi and just history, really.
Yeah, and oh man, the overt use of dummies in the 80s.
Oh my God.
Bro, the dummies in this movie got thrown from so many ledges.
Everywhere.
Every transition was like, like dummies just falling and land. Smashing on something.
I can only assume that's intentional.
Oh, yeah.
Because it feels, and yeah, so it was Terry, what'd you say? Gilliam?
I could be wrong.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Yeah.
So he wrote and directed Monty Python and is part of that whole Life of Brian, all those type of movies.
Gotcha, okay.
So very much that style, just again, more like chill, more chill for children, mm-hmm. To a point. Again, sometimes there's extreme jokes where you're like, okay, that just happened. But yeah, overall, there were some points in the movie that very much I was like almost falling asleep to.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like it was just like they kept going and going, and I'm like, okay, just like get us to the next area.
It is 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I don't think that it needs to be.
No, I feel like it's a little too long for its own good.
Because that pacing even, I mean, if the goal is for it to be like a kid's movie.
Yeah.
You got to cut that down a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. but not to the point where I disliked it.
Yeah.
The ending.
Dude,
I don't know if I hate it, if I'm just like, what the hell?
So
or...
I laughed out loud.
Yes.
At the ending, because I could not believe the credits were rolling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it out loud, but I also don't want to. Sarah, I imagine you know what we're talking about.
I say it's better not to know.
Yeah.
As much as it is a like... warning, if you see this movie, be prepared. This ending is crazy.
Yeah. Just a wild decision to make.
But it's not like crazy enough to warrant the whole movie, I don't think. Like to justify watching a movie just to see this ending.
No. I would say mm-hmm. I would say it would be a fun watch with some friends. If you like the 80s, like mm-hmm. think of, you know, if you like 80s fantasy. I think it's kind of a fun watch.
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever running to watch it again. But,
no, I don't think I will.
But I don't think it's like it's a sleeper in any way.
Yeah, I don't think it's a sleeper, but I think it is a specific like there were like I think we would have had fun watching it together.
Mm-hmm.
The ending is wild. It felt like a stage play to me. Like everything about like the sets, the props, the mm-hmm. costumes, and that's kind of how I was thinking while I was watching it. Yeah, the comedic tone, I wish it was more consistently that sort of more mature British humor,
mm-hmm.
but I do feel like it was meant to be more of a family movie.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a children's movie.
No.
So I guess maybe family movie is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Also, why does every little kid in 80s movies like this just sound like... a boiling kettle. Like, I just feel like every kid is like, no, don't go that way. No, you're mad. You're mad.
He really...
Don't do that. No, not to Napoleon. Like,
please.
They all sound like Muppet parodies.
And for what reason is he trying to stop?
No.
Like, there's some sad parts in the movie, too.
Yeah, there are.
Bro,
they were just... They're killing people and blowing up dogs and like there is some
this poor kid
madness.
Gets dragged across time and space. Anytime he finds happiness, the dwarves are like, come with us.
That honestly, that's sad.
Yeah, it's tragic.
There are, you're very right. There are moments where I'm like, are they gonna do this to this kid? Like,
yeah.
They scripted this and just went with
They're
it.
They're just like, all right.
This poor kid.
Yeah, he's really tortured throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be having fun, but I don't feel like he is.
And that's the other thing that's funny about it is it's like the dwarves want to be thieves and all his historical heroes were the ones who helped the needy and all that. So he's like, he wants to stop it. So this whole time, he's like not where he wants to be.
No.
And he doesn't want to be with them. The story is very interesting because it's like, I wonder how kids would feel about watching that and be like, oh, this character is not on like a fun Goonies mission.
No.
He was stolen by these like thieves.
Yeah.
And
plus the goals of the dwarves was to get money.
Mm-hmm.
And then what? Time travel and spend the money?
They just wanted to be rich, yeah. And we got to see it a little bit.
I guess, but...
They and that was the scene. Because that was actually a good contrast.
How do they have six dwarf suits?
So they probably had them made.
But I mean, not where they were.
Oh, you're saying in the movie?
Yeah,
I thought you were talking practically. I'm like, they exist.
I don't think dwarves would be on that boat.
That's a good point.
So why'd I have six of them ready? Seven, including the
kid.
Yeah,
where'd they get them?
Money or not, you can't just make it.
It's just accessibility is an issue here at that time for sure. That's funny. The other reason I would say it's worth watching is the finale and the effects are a trip, dude.
Oh, my
the,
God.
The carousel moment.
Yes.
That was like, it was like something out of Hellraiser.
It was all over the place.
It was so wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were a lot of crazy things because this, I forget what is, was he just called Evil?
Yeah, I think so. He was just the Evil or the Wizard or
I forget. Bob. But he's just basically the embodiment of evil and wants to rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
And in the finale, kind of has powers to do whatever and does some really wacky things. And I thought that was pretty wild to watch.
Evil Genius.
That's what he's called?
Yeah.
Evil Genius. Who plays him?
David Warner.
I don't know if I should, but I felt like I knew him.
There's a lot of people I like recognize in it, but don't know their names or anything. I've just seen them in various stuff.
Oh, dude. Yeah, well, you know this guy.
He looks very familiar. Yeah. But if you said, name one movie he's in.
Tron.
Harold and Kumar.
Oh, dude, he's in Teen Titans Go.
Wow.
Doctor Who.
He's still alive. 80s are a long time ago now, Brett.
Oh, dang. He died 2 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, at least he had fun.
Rest in peace. At least he had fun.
So, ultimately, Brett, keeper or sleeper? Oh, he's thinking.
Mm.
When I...
It's a novelty watch for me.
Yeah. When I give something a sleeper, it's usually like, I don't want people to waste their time on it.
And right.
I think there's enough here, even if it's not the best, I think it's worth a watch for some of the crazy stuff that happens. Like when it's weak, I think it's pretty weak. Like there are moments of it that I'm like, I just don't like it for one reason or another.
Yeah.
But when it gets crazy and ridiculous, it's crazy enough where I'm like, might be worth a watch so you could tell, or at least talk to us about the ending in particular. But
yeah, I will say this, like Tim and I have already had multiple conversations about it before we recorded. So there are definitely some things to discuss. I guess what I'm having a hard time with is I'm like, who watches it? Like if I watched it, I wouldn't call you and be like, dude, go watch this movie right now.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend it. I would say for like history buffs or people who like Monty Python, I think it very much is that type of humor and any of those kind of...
That's a good point. Yeah.
Any of those type of
movies. If you like that style of humor and whimsical fantasy, I think there's something here for you. It's
a little more niche, I would say. Like
it is. And I really think it's just because of the tone. If it was consistently as funny as that Robin Hood scene, even, I feel like it would feel more even. But what keeps coming to my head when I'm thinking about recommending it is like the moments where it does feel like a kid's movie.
Yeah.
It's like that felt like funny to me at times. But but overall, I think it's a pretty wild watch. But I think the finale alone and all the effects is almost kind of like worth a watch.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so funny. The carousel thing was crazy.
It really is.
That was wild.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think there's enough to talk about and it's interesting. I'd say it's a keeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeper.
You agree.
Yeah.
We agree.
Yeah.
What are we going to do now?
You got some things you want to hit. One of these days we'll come back to video games. I swear.
Dude, the variable is Simmy's upstairs.
What time is it right now?
It's 8:45, and I live far away from here.
It's up to you. You make the decision, man.
Oh, I really want to talk about it now.
It's It's up to you.
All right, we got to go into books. Sarah, thank you for the recommendation.
Yes, thank you.
Let's go into books and comics.
Have you read anything good lately?
No comics, though. It's just a book.
Lame. Wake me up when it's over.
All right, listen. I just finished this book, so it's fresh on my mind. I need to talk about it. Mm-hmm. It is called The Last Action Heroes. I forget the full title. It's a long one, dude. Don't
is it a biography?
So it is a book about all of the action stars, mm-hmm. basically that you can think of from like the golden age of action stars.
Yeah.
So the full title is The Last Action Heroes, The Triumphs, Flops, and Feuds of Hollywood's Kings of Carnage by Nick Desemlian.
That sounds sweet.
So I saw it on a shelf at Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
Months back. And I had mentioned recently how if you have Spotify Premium, you can listen to a bunch of audiobooks now. Mm-hmm. This book is on there. It's new, too. The book did not come out long ago.
Wow.
And I got it on Audible, mm-hmm. so I just listened to it on there. But I just wanted to let everyone know, if you have Spotify Premium, you can listen to it on there.
Sweet.
I loved this book so much. Mm-hmm. It is basically every story from the inception of like 80s action madness, mm-hmm. all the way up through talking about like the Expendables.
Oh, okay.
And like recent, like Jean-Claude Van Damme's current career.
Yeah. Is it specifically about him or all of them?
No, it's about all of them. Mm-hmm. And this is what makes it so crazy. So covered in the book are Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jean-Claude Van Damme, Chuck Norris, Jackie Chan, Dolph Lundgren. Who am I missing? I feel like there might be somebody else. Who could it be?
Bruce Willis.
Nice. That's the one. Yeah. And what is so crazy about this book, so I'm a huge fan of that era of action movies. It's so wild, but mm-hmm. there's so many cool things about this. If you're not, of course you benefit in ways from being a fan of those movies. Wait, how did I want to say that sentence? Of course, reading the book has some benefits for those who are already fans of those actors in those movies. Mm-hmm. But even if you're not, most people are aware of them. Mm-hmm. The way these actors all intertwined throughout their careers mm-hmm. is absolutely insane. Like there are just so many crazy things in this about the way like Jean-Claude Van Damme idolized Stallone mm-hmm. and how Jackie Chan tried to break in North America, like four times, was already massive mm-hmm. in Asian cinema. And Rumble in the Bronx was like his fifth attempt over here. Mm-hmm. And just hearing about his whole journey was so insane, and how film here felt so restricting to him, because when he was filming anywhere in Asia, he basically was like, whatever idea we had, it was so cool. One of the lines in the book that was a quote from him, loosely repeated here, was here, we write the story and then try to figure out the action. He was like, in Asia, we decide what the action is going to be first and then figure out how to do everything around it. Yeah. And so, yeah.
Kind of like Power Rangers. Where they had all the action and then made the story
exactly.
around it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very, very cool, too, because it discusses the decade, like the 80s being so overtly violent mm-hmm. and in some cases so blatantly painting another country or a certain people group as villains mm-hmm. and like America as the hero, because that's kind of where the country was at mm-hmm. the time. And then how in the 90s, it was a very distinctive switch in what people were going to see. So some of the action movies that came out in the early 90s, even though like, I don't know, for example, like Rambo 2, absolutely crushed. Mm-hmm. And then the third one came out and it was like the body count was up. It was more violent, but like people weren't going to see it as much. And all of a sudden reviews started to come against all the violence and stuff like that. So there's a lot about the way the public responded to the movies, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. But the intricacies of each actor's like journey to being who they are mm-hmm. is just like so wild. And they all intertwine with each other, from being like stuntmen to each other, being rivals, being like at meetings together. And I'm trying to think, there was another example that I was like, what are the odds of that even happening? But they're all like related to one another conceptually.
Yeah.
Like you think of 80s action and all these movies come to mind, but they also are all very much intertwined in their lives.
Yeah.
Because coming up in that scene, like...
Do they have like similar agents or something? Or...
Well, it's like scripts were going to like, oh, if Arnold doesn't want it, send it over to Stallone.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, but there are even moments in their careers where when Arnold did Twins, like he decided he really wanted to do something a little more comedic, and that really worked well. And then you read about Stallone doing this this other movie that was kind of similar, paired him up with one of the actresses from The Golden Girls, and it just didn't really work.
Yeah.
And so all those stories are really interesting, but really it's about the personal lives, like Arnold's father essentially being a Nazi and like... His really rough upbringing, and they all are really admirable in the way that they just like pursued their dream. And it going all the way up through Expendables, where like even some of the actors who had like crazy feuds coming together, it made me want to watch those movies again, like immediately. And I can't recommend it enough. I couldn't stop.
You sold me on it.
And one of the things I love about it too is it's chronological. So it starts with like, you know, one of the earliest stories is how Sylvester Stallone basically was living in a car, wrote Rocky, and then that changed his entire life.
And that was it.
You know? And he's always been a writer. He's always had like a softer artistic side. He paints and stuff like that. So there's a lot discussed about like them trying to maintain their image. And then a lot about like the turmoil of relationships and drug problems and all that's like all the Hollywood stuff. It's all in there and it's all like so fascinating. And it being chronological is really cool because it puts into perspective like, oh, these guys were already making these movies. And then Jean-Claude was over here, had Rambo posters, and then like broke his way into Hollywood over in America.
And then they like were interacting with each other as time went on and stuff. Yeah.
It's so wild. And there's a lot of interviews and quotes from different producers, different agents who worked with them and all the actors themselves. And it's just a very, very good read. Like I said, if you're into those movies at all, I can't recommend it enough. But even if you're not, it's a very interesting read just to hear about how film kind of changed through that time, especially when it comes to like action movies and things like that. And I couldn't stop thinking about you with all the Jackie Chan stuff because they go deep into his history. And then there are other like peripheral people that get brought up. Like Bruce Lee gets talked about a lot because of his influence. Chuck Norris being in, was he in Enter the Dragon or Return of the Dragon? I think it was Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, I think he was in Enter the Dragon.
Yeah, yeah. And Jackie Chan studied under him, I believe, as well. I think Jackie Chan was also in a movie with Frank Sinatra.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Don't do it.
What?
Oh, I thought you were going to fart.
No, I wasn't going
to. You were like,
let's go. Didn't work, dude.
So is this a long book? Since you listened to it.
Because I listened to it.
How long was it audio-wise?
It was 8 hours.
Okay, so
I believe.
I would say, I'm going to take a guess.
Yeah, do it. Take a guess.
I'm going to say it was 360 pages.
That sounds fair, because it wasn't incredibly thick.
What's it called again?
The Last Action Heroes.
The Last Action... Oh, God.
One of the craziest stories was about all the marketing around The Last Action Hero. The Arnold movie, and
I still got to see that. Never seen it.
I don't know that I did either, but I remember as a kid like thinking I loved it, which is what all that story is about, is the marketing was insane and the movie did not do well at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's one that always comes up like when I'm looking up like not even best movies, just like iconic movies, like 80s and 90s action movies. It pops up a lot.
Because it was supposed to be like an action movie about action movies, basically.
And but do you think it's good or no?
I don't think so. The book didn't describe it as it is.
Yo, I nailed it. 352 pages.
What did you say?
360.
No way.
Yeah.
That's actually insane.
Because usually if it's like 12 hours, it's usually like closer to like 700 pages.
Yeah.
Just because I was used to it when I would listen to audiobooks myself.
That's wild. That is so wild.
Mm-hmm.
That is all I got.
Is it a keeper or a sleeper?
Oh, dude. Do not read this book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Heavy Keeper. I literally almost wanted to listen to it again.
Yeah.
I was like so stoked on it, and it made me have a different kind of appreciation for that era. Mm-hmm. I already have it for nostalgic reasons and other reasons. I just think it's crazy that those movies exist, because mm-hmm. like we all know how over the top they are.
Oh my God.
And it's like they all knew too, and just hearing about what it was like then mm-hmm. on sets, you know, budgets just flying through the roof because they had crazy new ideas.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get like a lot of insight into being on set with James Cameron on like mm-hmm. Terminator, and then what it was like doing Judgment Day.
Yeah.
It's so cool. So cool. Heavy Keeper.
Good to know, because I want to listen and or read it.
You should and or. I still want a hard copy of it, actually, because the cover is super dope.
$25.
It's not that bad. I might get it.
But that might have been paperback. I don't know.
I don't want that trash.
Yeah, trash.
All right, listen, bro. We got to get out of here. Thank mm-hmm. you guys so much for hanging out with us. This has been episode number 283 of the Keep Up Podcast. If you would like to interact with us on all different platforms, then please do. We are at the Keep Up Podcast on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram.
Yeah.
Can message us wherever, mm-hmm. comment, whatever you want to do. If you're watching on YouTube, or even if you're not, you can like and subscribe. That is free for you to do and very helpful for us. And if you haven't and want to, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Or wherever.
Also yeah. wherever. Tim.
Yes.
Tell everybody where they can find you and your other work.
You guys can find me at Collection Revolution on TikTok, on Twitch, on Instagram, on Twitter, on... There's a lot of T's. Twitch, that TikTok, Instagram. It's a silent T at the beginning of that.
Right.
You know, where you guys can find social medias. I'll probably be there.
Uh-huh.
Brett.
What?
Where can all the freaking people find your freaking face?
So aggressive, dude. You can find me at This Drink I Like It on Instagram. And there's
I don't
a
know water.
There's a oh yeah, you don't. How you doing? Is your mouth dry? Yeah. At This Drink I Like It on Instagram, there's a link tree on there. That's my personal page. We can hang out there. Mm-hmm. But the link tree will get you to like my music and streaming stuff. And what else is on there? My other podcasts. Lot going into this here podcast and the Keep Up content. Mm-hmm. But I do have a lot of music coming out soon. So if you want to find me on there, that would be rad.
Yeah.
Tim's going to do what's called End Babble.
Babble.
Where he talks nonsense for about a minute and a half. And I guess that is it. You guys are the coolest. Everybody have a great week. Tim, your theme is flying through time on a crispy French fry.
Sweet.
Okay, love you guys. Bye.
Crispity crunchity of the flying fry. You can hear it sizzle in the sky as time warps around you. You look to your left and you see the history of the hickory smoked sausage as it begins to be hickory smoked in front of a group of young whippersnappers. And over to your right, you see the beginning of time. One man's butt farted so hard that the bang was big and our universe was created. A weird angle indeed, but we saw it nonetheless. And as you look ahead, you see yourself as time is just a loop, and you see yourself traveling through time in front of you, forever looking beyond what one can do. And this fry is also your meal, so chew on it as you descend deeper into the madness of time traveling. And so I'll leave you with this. French fries will not help you time travel. Unless they're like mushroom fries or they're like poisonous, then you might start tripping and you might travel through time, but it won't be real.